I really enjoy that. John 14, Brother Asa, where the Lord says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Why doesn't he say, in my house? Because in John's ministry, it's more the family of God. And I enjoy the fact that, brethren, in a family, all God's children are different. But you're not going to be lost in the crowd up there. Everyone has a special place. And that's the thought. Are many abodes a special place? There's a brother in the Dominican Republic that I've told some of you about. He has 18 children. And the last time I was down there, I love to visit him. He just enjoys the things of the Lord so much. So I looked at him and I says, brother, where is your favorite child? He looks at me. He doesn't say anything. He just shakes his head. I enjoyed that so much. And that's what it is in the Father's house, brethren. We're all individual. Just think of the millions and probably we could say billions of the redeemed. Not one will be lost in the crowd. Everyone will have his special place in the Father's house. I enjoy that so much. My desire this afternoon is to talk about the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper. I see a lot of young people here, and I really thank the Lord that you're here. And I think sometimes because of a lack of understanding of those two things, the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper, I see a lot that are not breaking bread yet. And I just want to present the truth as simply as possible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where we have the Lord's table mentioned, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we have the Lord's Supper mentioned. It's interesting, in both places, in chapter 10 and in chapter 11, when it speaks of the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper, it speaks of it in the negative. I've puzzled over that. But we'll just look at it and read it and talk about it. Some people don't seem to distinguish what's the difference between the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper. If I invite you to come to my house for supper, you know immediately that you have to come to my table, the place where I am the head of the house. And if you feel free to do that, you come and sit down to partake of the supper that my wife will fix. So there's not the same things. They go together, but they're not the same. When we talk about the Lord's table, it is the place where his authority is recognized. Notice it doesn't say, as we read this, you'll notice, doesn't say Jesus' table or Christ's table. It's the Lord's table. The term Lord means that he has authority. And I think that's so important to keep in mind that, brethren, is there a place in this world where we can recognize his authority? I think everyone here will recognize that we all have faults. But is there some place where the Lord's authority is recognized even in our failure? And I leave that for you to be exercised about. Let's read in chapter 10 then, and we're going to read from verse 15. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. These were Corinthians. And he says, now I want you to think about this, and I want you to weigh it. And he says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils or to demons, and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with demons, devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. He cannot be partakers of the Lord's table. There it is, the only mention in the New Testament of the Lord's table. He cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? So here, when we're talking about the Lord's table, it's the place of fellowship. I think we realize it's not this physical table that's sitting in the middle of the room. Yes, that's where we set the emblems, but that's not what we're talking about. It's the place where the Lord's authority is recognized. It's not brethren who have this place. It's the Lord that has this place. And so it's important to keep the Lord in focus in this. He is the one that constitutes that place. And so I say sometimes to people, if you are guided by the Spirit of God, and I am guided by the Spirit of God, do you think we're going to be separated into different groups that are not in fellowship with each other? I say, I leave that with you for your own consideration. I don't think that would happen. The fact that there is so much division and confusion in Christian circles means that there has been a lack of getting a focus on what the Lord says in His Word. It's His table. It's His fellowship. And so it says in verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless. It mentions the cup first. This is definitely not the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is what we celebrate at the Lord's table. But this is the Lord's table it's talking about here. And so it mentions the cup first. Why the cup? What basis do I have of sitting down at the Lord's table? Who gave me that privilege? It's the blood of Christ that gives every true believer a place at that table. And I say, if you are a true believer, you have a place at that table. You may not have taken that place, but your place is there. And so I say to younger people, remember, your place is there, and what are you going to say to the Lord if you don't take your place and do what He asks you to do to remember Him by partaking of the loaf and of the cup? In that day, what are you going to say to Him? I remember when I was 15 years old, a brother came to the meeting in Walla Walla where I was born and raised. And he saw a bunch of us young men in the front row, and he said, are you breaking bread? What are you going to say if you don't break bread? And the Lord raptures us home, and he says, I did everything for you. I gave my life for you. And I ask you to do something for me while you were still in this world. Did you do it? What are you going to say to him? Man, was I convicted. I really wasn't at peace until Sometime later, I took my place at the Lord's table, and I must say, brethren, it's been such a blessing, something I treasure in my heart more and more. In different circumstances, sometimes the Dominican Republic, I've been in a hall that was kind of open in the countryside, and I noticed that during the breaking of bread, a pig wandered in and wandered through and wandered out another door. I don't think anybody else was quite as distracted as I was, so I decided I wouldn't let it distract me either. Different circumstances, but all the privilege of simply remembering the Lord Jesus as he asked us to do. So this is what we're talking about here in chapter 10 is the Lord's table, and it's a question of fellowship. The fellowship of the blood of Christ, and then at the end of verse 16, the bread which we break, is it not the fellowship or the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. And so it was at the beginning. In today's world, we have so much confusion in Christian circles that we don't know how to think about a verse like this. We are all partakers of that one bread. I say this, that if you are a true believer, you have a place at that table, whether you partake or not. If I was invited to the supper table of a king, and so I decided I better go just in case, but really, Your Royalty, I don't feel real at ease sitting down at such an elegant place. I'm going to just take my chair and pull it out, and I'll just sit back in the back row. What do you think the king would say to me? What have I done that you do that? I provided everything necessary so that you could occupy that place at my table. And that's the case, brethren. The Lord has done everything necessary so that we could enjoy sitting down at his table to express the fellowship of the blood of Christ, to express the fellowship of the body of Christ. So that one loaf, and that's important, brethren, to be one loaf, that represents every single member of the body of Christ on this world, whether they are here present or not, it represents them. If we say it represents a smaller circle, then we become sectarian. And that's important to remember. That loaf represents every single member of the body of Christ in this world. And so we look at that loaf and we enjoy that truth. Before it's broken, it's a figure of the body of Christ. Every single true believer is included in that. Beautiful to think about it. I tell you a little story of, in southern Bolivia, there was a conference going on in a place called Siete Suyos. And sometimes the brethren don't think ahead a whole lot. And so they, in the breaking of bread there at the conference, it got passed around and got about halfway through. And the loaf was just about to be consumed. I took the liberty, and I don't know if this is right or not, but I stood up and I said, brethren, the brethren over on the other side haven't taken part, but they are members of the body, so please, let's not take off such a big pinch. Just take off a little crumb so that you show that you are a member of that one body. And so they accepted that, and I think we got through the whole meeting without finishing up that loaf. But that's the truth. It's precious truth that we express. So when I reach out and take a pinch of that bread, on Lord's Day morning, I'm saying, in effect, I am a member, in part, of one body that includes all true believers in the Lord Jesus. There is no other way to look at it without being sectarian. Lord, help us to hold that, brethren. It's such a precious truth. We are members of one body. But then comes in the question of fellowship. And so he brings in something from the Old Testament. He says, "Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar?" And he goes back to the Old Testament. You remember, after Solomon, his son Rehoboam was kind of not a very wise son, and he provoked division in Israel. And 10 tribes under the influence of Jeroboam separated, and they established other centers, one in Beersheba and one in Dan. And he made a golden calf in each place and said, "These are the gods that brought thee out of the land of Egypt, O Israel." And so there was division. And this is what he's referring to, because he talks about tables of demons. It's tables where there is idolatry. And that was common in Corinth, because in Greece they were very idolatrous. They were used to that. But behind those demons, or behind those idols, were demons deceiving the people. They do that in some places of South America too. I've seen them have a festival to a certain saint, and they have a little image of that saint, and they actually bring food out there so that people can partake. And in partaking, they show fellowship with that. Paul is saying to you, if you do partake there, you cannot be partakers of the Lord's table. It's either one or the other. Because if you partake in both places, you would be saying, "I am in fellowship. And the Lord is in fellowship, because I go to the Lord's table and I go to the table of demons." Is that possible? Paul says you cannot do that. That's impossible. And so it's a principle. I don't say, brethren, I think we need to be careful when we talk about this. We're not talking about other Christian groups as tables of demons. That's not right. Demons are where there is idolatry going on. There may be other tables. Sometimes people say men's tables, where men establish their authority. Perhaps that's all right to say. But I say, tables of demons are not other evangelical groups. Let's be careful not to apply that. The point is that there is a principle. I know of a evangelical group that in their Sunday school curriculum, they teach that the Lord Jesus could have sinned if he would have wanted to. To me, that is a very serious error. So if I want to show fellowship there and come to the Lord's table, I'm saying we're having fellowship with that particular doctrine. Does that seem rather wrong to do? I find that I don't have liberty in my soul to do such a thing, because you can't show fellowship with erroneous doctrines. So this is the point, that we show fellowship at the Lord's table, and if we go to another place, we show fellowship. Last Lord's Day, we were breaking bread in Lawrenceville. Before that, we were out west, and we had different places that we broke bread in the Northwest. In February, we were in the Dominican Republic, and we broke bread down there, because each of those places are in fellowship, the fellowship of the blood of Christ, the fellowship of the body of Christ. And so these are important points to understand. So when we talk about the Lord's table, we're talking about a place of fellowship. And what a privilege it is to show the fellowship of the blood of Christ and to show the fellowship of the body of Christ. I must say, I find it such a blessing to be with brethren in different cultures, different customs. Let me tell you just briefly a custom that we found when we first moved to Bolivia was that they always, in the breaking of bread, they had the sister sit on the left side of the husband. And I couldn't figure out. My Barb usually sits on my right side. But I saw them actually make them change spots at the beginning of a breaking bread. So I finally asked, Brother, why do you do that? And they said, Brother, you don't know? Eve was made out of Adam's rib. Fine, but we got ribs both sides. Brother, it's the rib closest to the heart. Oh, thank you. I find, brother, that when there are customs like that, you don't try to correct them. You just let them be, and they'll grow out of them in time. But I must say, Barb continues to sit on my right side, so they haven't made a problem with that. No, it's customs are customs, and it's different in different places. And so, brethren, the point is that we are members of one body. The only thing that has brought us into blessing is the blood of Christ. Oh, what a privilege to be able to express it in this way as we do, sitting down at the Lord's table. Now let's go over to chapter 11 where we have the Lord's Supper. And the mention of the Lord's Supper, the only mention in the New Testament, is verse 20. When ye come together, therefore, into one place. Isn't that interesting? This is not to eat the Lord's Supper. I want to explain why he says that. That's why I say it's in the negative. It's because in Corinth, they were doing things in a confused way. On one side of the room were all the wealthy people who had all the food that they needed and even too much of wine, and they were drunk. On the other side were the poor, and they didn't have anything. They were hungry. So Paul says, this is not the Lord's Supper. And so he proceeds to tell us what the Lord's Supper is. Again, I say the Lord's Supper is what we celebrate at the Lord's table. For I have received, verse 23, for I have received of the Lord. Interesting, Paul was not there on the night when the Lord instituted his supper with the other disciples. He was saved later on. But the Lord gave him this, and it's a confirmation of what the Lord wants for his people. I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. When there is a breaking of bread in a certain place, we say there is a testimony there. What do we mean? Well, we're showing something. What are we showing? The Lord's death. Chapter 10, we show our fellowship as members of the body of Christ. Chapter 11, we show the Lord's death. That's why we say there's a testimony there. In that way, it's something that God has instituted and recognizes. So I think this is beautiful. I'd just like to make a few comments here as to what the Lord told Paul. When he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Notice in verse 25 at the end, he says, "This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Just point out a little thing here, brethren, that is very interesting to me is he doesn't say in remembrance of my death, in remembrance of me. And I find that so special. He is a real person even today. He is a man, a human being of flesh and bones sitting at God's right hand. And he wants us to remember him. And when we come together, it's not remembering merely his death. It's remembering him in his death. And when we remember him, we think. That's why I enjoyed it so much this morning in the breaking of bread. There was a lot of focus on the glory of the person of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, I find that when we focus on his glory, some brother read the I am's, and oh, the Lord Jesus is that great I am, the eternal Son of God, the one who never had a beginning, the creator of the vast universe. That's the one that went to that cross, that hung there to save my soul. Oh, it just fills the heart when you think of the grandeur of his person. So, brethren, it's not merely remembering his death. It's remembering him in his death. Yes, in verse 26 it says, we show the Lord's death until he comes. How long? Till you have a problem? No, it doesn't say that. Until he comes. Has he come yet? No, we're still here. He hasn't come yet. So do I have something to be exercised about? Yes, he's asked me to do this until he comes. Brethren, this is something I find extremely precious to my own soul. It's 65 years now that I took my place at the Lord's table. And it gets more and more special as time goes on. Brethren, is there something that's more important than that? Is there some kind of job that I might try to get that should be set aside? Brethren, is he Lord in our lives? Or is he, if it's convenient, I'll do it. Yeah. I find it a challenge, and it really searches me, brethren, that we need to put the Lord in first place. Establish our priorities. That's what I find in this present culture we live in. It's so man-centered. I have my rights. I have my desires. You should recognize that. You shouldn't judge me. Brethren, it's not a matter of judging you, but I say when you see that man on that cross, hanging in those deep agonies, going through those 3 hours of darkness, and at the end of those hours calling out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is there something that is more important when he asks me to remember him? I can't think of anything that's more important than that. So my desire is to be where I can fulfill his desire until he comes again. You know, when we talk about the Lord's table in chapter 10, it's necessary that we judge him. When I say judge, I'm not merely talking about judging people. I'm talking about judging associations. If there is an association with an idol, I make a judgment call. I can't do that. Sorry, that's not in the picture. But in chapter 11, when we have the Lord's Supper, the judgment is of ourselves. So notice later on in the chapter, verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, we could put it in an unworthy manner, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. People say, what does it mean to be do it unworthily? Supposing I, taking the illustration of being invited to the king's table, I sit down at the king's table, and there is all the items I need to eat my meal decently and in order. But instead of using the fork and the knife, I decide I'm going to just put my fingers in the plate and pick up the food and put it in my mouth. Would that be proper? No, it would not be proper. It would be disorderly, given whose table it is. That would be an unworthy way to eat. And so it's a reflection on us. And so he says, verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Brethren, we need to examine ourselves. What happened in this last week? Before we came to the breaking of bread, did we examine ourselves? Yeah, I lost my temper back there, and that was not proper. I recognize that. Now I confess it to the Lord. And it's just like it says in 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we need to practice self-judgment. The sooner the better. Don't wait just till Sunday. You don't just change your clothes on Sunday to come to meeting. No, you're changing your clothes all week long when they get dirty. And so as soon as possible, as soon as you recognize something happened out of order, then you confess it to the Lord and take care of it. So he says, verse 29, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself or judgment, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. The Lord had allowed amongst the Corinthian believers those that got sick. The Lord was dealing with him in his governmental judgment. It wasn't a matter of them being lost. It was a matter of him governing their lives. And so he allowed them to get sick, and some even died. Verse 31, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. Isn't that interesting? That shows very clearly that a believer can never be lost. The Lord will, in his faithfulness, step into your life and speak to you about something that's not right. And it's so that you will not be condemned with the world. Remember some folks that are from a Christian group that don't hold eternal security, and when they understood verse 32, they saw, oh, we can't be lost. The Lord may discipline us, But we cannot lose our salvation. And so it's a wonderful thing, brethren, to enjoy this truth that we have a God who is faithful. Oh, brethren, I cannot trust in my own faithfulness, not for a moment. I want to be faithful, but I can't trust in my faithfulness. But there is one, it's mentioned in the meetings, I think, who is called in Revelation chapter 3, the faithful and true witness. He is always faithful. Brethren might not be faithful in certain things, but there is one in the midst that is always faithful and true. Let's not give up our confidence in Him. So I just wanted to show those two parts where we have the Lord's table, the place of fellowship that the Lord authorizes, that He is in charge of. And then the Lord's Supper, what we celebrate in that place. And again, I say, dear young people, the Lord encourage you to take your place at His table. Is there something in your life that you are entertaining that is hindering you? What are you going to say to the Lord about it in that coming day at the judgment seat? I just encourage you, if there's something that's hindering, get it out of the way and take your place. Such a cost to the Lord that He gave us this privilege to sit down at His table to celebrate His supper until He comes again.